Good morning. Thanks for coming. You're hungry for worship. And a good place to be before the storm comes. And let's pray that everybody is safe. There will be a fellowship time. Thanks, Antoinette, and those who helped. But just a brief time. Don't be staying for hours. You got to get home. But I know we'll all be safe. Father's at the helm, right? A few items. The Safe Church training has been, you know, rescheduled or to be rescheduled, to be determined. Do we know anything? CE will let us know when the training is to happen, so because that's not happening today. Also, the Unite Clothing Drive, take note of that. Next Saturday is a great time to come and drop stuff off. The church will be open. Clothing, household items, you know, and there's instructions there on the insert. And then we'll load that up on a truck. Might be you and me, Dave. No, whoever. And we'll drive to Danbury. So I'm not sure if that's happening, but
somebody will donate a U-Haul to us. That's what I'm praying about.
I want to say, I want to say hello to those listening online later. We missed you today, but it's good that, you know, many folks probably needed to hunker down, stay home because of traveling a distance. But those listening online after the storm or today during the storm, the Lord bless you as well. We miss you. So let's continue in our worship. And it's Be Thou My Vision. Let us stand together.
Good morning. Would you join with me in our call to worship? Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart,
for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Pray with me, please. Oh, Lord, as we come before you this day, from the moment we rose, it is obvious you are the one who leads us all. You are our favor. You have blessed us so deeply. Let us, too, be a blessing back to you. We call to you, Lord. You are the only one who saves. The Trinity, the Holy One of heaven and earth, you love us. Oh, Lord, that we may love you back the way you love us. It is just amazing to watch the things you do, sort of in secret, but then they're known. And it just astounds people when you are involved in our lives. Miracles are seen. You walk with us in all things. Your faithfulness has never failed. Lord, help our faithfulness to be stronger. We are so weak in so many ways, and we fall so easily. But for your mercy and your grace, that upholds us in all things. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise this day, and we will pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and that's on page 926 in your pew Bible. Paul's thanksgiving after affliction. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the... I'm sorry. Where am I? Wait a minute.
You're right.
I'm right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I was reading the wrong one. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also are our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. Our next reading is 1 Peter. First Peter 3:8-22 on page 985 in your pew Bible. I want to make sure I got it right, because this is awesome. Okay. Suffering for doing right. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God, for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Come to our prayer time. There's much on our hearts, and we trust the peace of Christ as he has promised us, and that he is here present with us wherever two or three are gathered in his name. He wants to hear our prayers, and he wants to answer our prayers. So let us bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you for the promises, the many promises, especially for those who are suffering throughout the world and even in our own country, and even many of us in our own way. And we're waiting on this storm, and we've been waiting for getting to the other side of this virus and masks and all that comes with it. So, Lord, we ask, knowing that you are here in our midst today, we worship you and praise you. We want to live our lives like you, to put on what you would have us put on in the Spirit, to live fully for you. But Lord, our hearts are heavy today, not just for a hurricane. We pray for those who are will be in the toughest winds, the eastern Connecticut, and for all of us, Lord. Pray protection for Rhode Island as well, and as the storm moves north. Oh, Lord, get us to the other side. We trust in you no matter what. Help us to look to how we can help our neighbors in the days ahead. But heavy hearts for Afghanistan, Lord. What in the world is happening? And yet we see it happening again and again in our world, various countries. We pray for the innocent people of Afghanistan, especially around Kabul. Oh, protect them, Lord. Be with them. We pray for the Americans that are there, trying to get home, trying to get out. Thank you for stories that are coming out. We pray for the soldiers, the military. Lord, we pray for the Christians there. There is a thriving underground church that is growing rapidly, only second to the Iranian underground church. Some are already being martyred. Persecution. Lord, we pray an end to that, but we pray that you would hold up our Christian brothers and sisters who have no fear. They've had everything taken from them. They have no fear that even as they face their persecutors, the Taliban will experience the manifest presence of Jesus Christ, having a Damascus Road experience, that they would come to you. All things are possible with you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we lift up all who are in the midst of being in harm's way in Afghanistan. Even in our own country, Lord, or up north in Canada, we pray for our government, Lord. We pray for godly changes and justice and reformation, Lord, like never before. We know it's possible with you. Raise up God-fearing leaders, Lord, in our government, nationally and locally, to do your will, to do what's right. And Lord, we're praying for Louise Weinkoop, this heart valve surgery that will be taking place this week, but she needs to travel back to Florida with Terry, her son, and then travel home and move here locally. So we pray for that transition, all as she grieves and the family grieves the loss of Bill. Oh, Lord, be with all who mourn this day in their own way, and there are many, Lord. We pray for our shut-ins, for the elderly, Herb and Rogine and Joe and Sandy Berkeley, Daryl and Sandra Bishop, George and Karen Anticoli, and Michael is in, helping his church in Waterbury, where the pastor there passed away. So be with that church and be with Michael, be with Angelica, be with them and their looking forward in mission and ministry in the days ahead, and your blessing on their children. We pray for Peter Butkovich, Carolyn Stratman, for Alice Nelson. Continue to bring your healing to Gary Butler. Be with his son Jake in prison. during this time. Oh, Lord, we pray for all of our children. We pray for all of our youth as they anticipate school or homeschooling or whatever the next chapter is for the fall. We pray mighty protection in Jesus' name. Again, we pray an end will come, even a miraculous end of this virus, Lord, and all the fears that surround it. Oh, Lord, you have a mission for us. Increase our faith. Give us a boldness for Christ like never before. Holy Spirit, fill us, counsel us, direct us. Raise up warriors and champions for the Lord, not to fight in the flesh, but to battle in the spirit and to stand strong, to be humble, to be merciful. Release your gifts, release your power, your manifest presence today, Lord. And for whatever anyone is carrying, whatever burden here this morning, or listening online, you see, you hear, you know. And Lord, we just pray that you would release the strength and the heaviness of the burdens, but also increase the confidence that you are with each and every one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. We claim that in Jesus' name, our hope. We are your children, Lord. Abba, Father, we invite the fullness of your love and your presence. Just surround us this morning like your little children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now it's time for the children with Peg. So come on up, kids.
Good morning. So, what I got from this reading was that we're supposed to suffer for good. And I kind of thought those were big words for little kids. So when I hear of suffering, I think of being hurt or in pain. But it says here, I have the Message version.
Well, when I wrote this sermon, the suffering from doing good sounded a little different, because now with the things facing in Afghanistan and our brothers and sisters suffering greatly, this sermon took on a different meaning to my heart. So I know that there's a special message in here for us and for our brothers and sisters that are suffering throughout. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for the message that you've given us, for the words that you want us to receive, Lord. I ask that your message would penetrate our hearts, would encourage us and strengthen us and compel us to go into this world and be your light, to combat evil, and to stand for righteousness and truth and goodness. So, Father, speak to everyone in the way they can hear and understand, and let you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently I read this story about a little girl who got promoted to a Sunday school helper. And now this was a really big deal to her. You know that any time a child gets a job, this is a huge deal. And this child, she took it so seriously. She made sure that on Sunday mornings, she got up early, she was dressed, she was ready to go on time. So that's the key, you know I'm not talking about my children. But she would get to church early. She would meet with the teacher, the lowdown, what was the lesson, what was she doing. She just loved it. She felt like she was doing something big for the Lord. Well, one particular Sunday, she was having a hard time getting it all together, and before she knew it, she was running late. And she was so upset. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know how this was going to work out. But she quickly got ready, she went on her way, and then she started to pray. She started telling God how sorry she was for being so late and how she hoped she could still be a helper because she wanted to do a good job for him. And then she asked him, "Please, please, Lord, can you help me get to church on time? Just this one time, and I promise I will do much better next time." So just a few moments later, she tripped and fell. And then she rolled down the hill, the grassy hill, right into the back of the church. Oh, so she got up and her knees were skinned. She was full of dirt. Her dress was a mess. But she brushed herself off of the grass and the dirt, and she tried to straighten out her dress that was now wrinkled, and she wiped off her knees and tried not to cry. And then she looked up to the heavens and said, "God, thank you for helping me get to church on time. But did you really need to push me?" Now, this is a really cute story, and it shows us the innocence and faith of children. But sometimes I think that us adults can feel like this at times. We're giving our all to God. We're doing the very best that we can. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something or someone trips us, and we fall down and we become bruised and battered. And how is this possible? I mean, we're serving God with all that we have. We have the best intentions, and yet sometimes we still suffer greatly for our obedience and our commitment to him. From our reading today, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:14 that we are blessed if we suffer for God. Huh? We're blessed if we suffer? And then he tells us in verse 17, well, it's better to suffer for doing good than evil. Okay, well, that one makes sense. But why do we have to suffer for doing good? Why do we have to suffer for following the Lord? I mean, yeah, we can look at Jesus because he suffered for doing good. And I guess we can realize that if Jesus suffered, then we will too. And that also makes us know that there is a price that we have to be willing to pay to do the right thing and do what the Father wills. Many in the Bible from the Old Testament and through the New Testament has faced the price, and some even a deadly price, for doing what was good. And so when I think about that, one person that comes to mind is Daniel. Now, Daniel gives us, the book of Daniel gives us several examples of being faced with suffering and doing good and walking in righteousness. Daniel had proved to be an excellent and faithful worker. And so King Darius had given Daniel some major responsibilities. Eventually, he became what we would call a governor. The interesting part about this was that Daniel was a governor in a foreign land, a Gentile land, a pagan land, a land that was filled with anti-Semitism. Now, many people in that kingdom would have vied for a position like Daniel's. And we read in Daniel that there were several citizens who were very jealous and outraged that Daniel was promoted over its own people. And now these who were angered over Daniel's position, they knew that there was absolutely no fault against him. Daniel 6:4 tells us that they could find no charge or fault within him because he was faithful, nor was there any error. But people can be extremely determined and persistent, especially when they feel wronged and they feel justified in their actions. So this group, they came together and they decided the only way they were going to get Daniel was to trick King Darius to trap him. To sum up the story, they convinced the king to sign a decree saying that no one was allowed to call upon or pray to anyone other than the king for 30 days. And if the king were to sign this decree with his insignia ring, well, then it could not be reversed. It was absolute law. And once the decree was sealed, it was forever in place. And inevitably, that's what happened. The king signed the decree. Now, Daniel was faithful, and this group knew that he would continue to pray to his God. And so they waited, and it didn't take very long. But sure enough, Daniel got on his knees and prayed. Now, the punishment for disobeying this decree was being thrown in the lion's den. So basically, death by cruel and horrific means. Talk about being faced with the price of doing good and being faithful. Now, once the king found out, he was trapped by his own decree. And he was really quite distraught because Daniel had found much favor in the king's eyes. The king respected Daniel, and this just tore at him. But he had no choice. He had to throw him in the den. But all the while, Daniel fully knowing that if he got down on his knees and prayed to God, he was going to face the den. So what did Daniel do to deserve this? Absolutely nothing. He was a man of the highest integrity, a man that sought out walking in righteousness, a man that was faithful and obedient to what God called him to and where God put him. See, Daniel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians when they invaded Israel. He was roughly 17-ish, maybe late teens at the most. And then again in his lifetime, the Babylonians were taken over by the Medo-Persians. So this man spent most of his life as a captive, not even a free man. It wasn't his choice that he was promoted or where he was put. That's where God put him, because of who he was. Yet even though God placed him in all of these positions, Daniel still chose to serve faithfully. He remained devoted to God and to be honorable in the positions he held, not only in one kingdom, but in two. If you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see that this is not the first time that Daniel is faced with the price of doing the right thing. Now, if we jump forward a little bit and we look at Peter's life, well, we know he suffered for Jesus. Now, yes, we can admit that Peter was not perfect and he had some major trip-ups. But honestly, don't we all? He pulled it together and he became a driving force behind starting and expanding the church. But he was slandered, ridiculed, beaten, threatened, in prison, lost all of his property, and suffered a violent death. He was very familiar with the cost of following Jesus, and yet he still encourages us that it's better for us to suffer for doing good. And then he reminds us how Christ suffered for us. And this isn't new. Suffering from Christ has been happening since he walked the earth. I mean, Christ suffered himself. And yet it hasn't ended. It's still happening today. According to the World Watch List in 2020, 340 million Christians experienced significant persecution and discrimination. 340 million Christians. I can't even fathom that number of what that looks like. And here's some other statistics outside of that number. 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith. 4,277 Christians were detained. They weren't given a trial. They were just arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. No due justice. 4,488 churches and Christian buildings were attacked. And these are just the statistics that were able to be reported. Just in the last few months, over 3,500 Christians had been killed in Nigeria for refusing to convert to Islam. And now look at Afghanistan. The Taliban is going door to door looking for Christians, and they drag them out in the streets and murder them. It's been reported that the Taliban has a running list of all the Christians in the country, and they're going to take them out to cleanse their country. Not to even mention the horrific things that they're doing to women and children in the sex trafficking ranks that are going crazy throughout the Middle East right now. But they're hunting them down all because of their faith. But this type of persecution and evil, it's not new. The New Testament is full of some of the very same types of conditions. And if we look back on the disciples' lives and other leaders in the church and see what they had to endure because of their faith, we would see history is repeating itself. Now you might say to me, okay, well that's Nigeria and that's Afghanistan. And of course there's things, churches being built, burnt, and people being beaten in Canada, and that's just Canada. But that's not the U.S. We don't do that. We don't allow that kind of stuff in our country. Okay, well, right now here in the U.S., Christians are experiencing persecution in politics and on college campuses. Christian colleges like Gordon College and King's College have faced many challenges to retain their accreditation. There's actually many people who oppose Christian colleges being accredited in the first place. So that could even come and affect one day our own North Park University. There's persecution in public schools. I can remember praying with my teacher when I was in sixth grade during recess. Now he would lose his job. Coaches are getting fired for praying with their teams or giving any glory or credit to God for a win. Many of you in your workplaces have shared with me how toxic the environment is for Christians. You've shared that you are isolated or made fun of for believing in Jesus. Look at the many court cases right now that are in litigation from businesses and churches petitioning the court to uphold their religious rights. I think it's safe to say it's going to get a lot worse before Jesus returns. So are we ready for that? So I just gave you a lot of good news to rejoice about. But really, how do we persevere? How do we make it through the persecution now or in the future? Well, Peter shares a very important part of this in verses 8 and 9. He tells us that our goal is to live in harmony with one another, to demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness towards other believers, to have our humility describe us as who we are, and to dearly love one another and never retaliate when someone treats you wrong. Peter is telling us we need one another. We are not meant to walk this alone. We are expected to hold each other up. We are expected to pray and care for one another. We are expected to walk through the most difficult times of our lives as well as the most joyous ones together. Even the disciples did not suffer completely alone. When Peter was in prison, there were groups of people praying for him day and night, constant intercession. And when the angel of the Lord came and opened the doors for Peter, Peter ran to the home of Mary, the mother of John and Mark. And what did Peter see? The house was filled with people praying for him. The people were together. When Rome was coming for the Christians, they hid and huddled together to survive. When the churches of Corinth and Ephesus were being attacked for their beliefs, people came together. They prayed together. They ate together. They lived together. They suffered together. Now, in our house, we're big fans of Toby Mac. And Toby Mac has this song called Scars. And it's a very real-life, powerful song. And their lyrics are things that we all live out together. And the premise of his song is that scars come with living. And he says, it doesn't matter who you are, this world is going to leave some battle scars. Well, look at Jesus, his hands and feet and his side. The world left battle scars. And then Toby goes on in the song to tell us, how do we cope with those scars? He tells us to lift our head up to where your help comes from. Words from the mouth of King David, who suffered many scars in his quest to follow God. But isn't that what Daniel did too? Isn't that what Peter did? They got on their knees and they lifted their heads and their hands to heaven and they prayed. The scars that are on Jesus' hands and feet and his side, those are the reason we have hope. The reason that we can endure persecution. The reason why those 3,500 people in Nigeria refused to convert to Islam. The reason why our brothers and sisters in China are willing to hide together and risk imprisonment or death just to worship Jesus, just to sing a song. Those scars are the reason why Bibles get smuggled into the Middle East. The reason why people are willing to risk their lives to spread the message of Jesus. The reason why they're willing to suffer for doing good. Because those scars are the ones that open the gates to heaven to us. That blood that ran from those wounds, that washed us all completely clean. They gave us a hope of what is to come, a place to call our home forever and ever. A place where we will suffer no more. A place where there will be no persecution, no fear, no pain, no hate, no sickness, no tears. A place worth every scar that we will ever endure. And a place that will finally make every wrong right. But Peter isn't giving us a doom and gloom message. He's trying to help us to turn to the hope of what is to come, trying to get us to see that there is so much more than what we experience on earth, that it's far bigger and grander than our lives here. He's trying to encourage us that nothing we endure is for waste, that no scar we ever have is for waste. Every scar we have can be used for the glory of God. Every scar can be an invitation for the lost to come to know Jesus. And every scar is a story of what God has done and is doing in your life. If we are doing good according to the Father's will, when we suffer for Christ, but we also suffer to further the kingdom of God. Now, when we look at Daniel, he went into that lion's den willingly. But God sent an angel and closed the mouth of the lions. Because what those men meant for Daniel's harm, God used for his glory. And once the king got Daniel out of the den, he made another decree. And this decree was like no other. Daniel 6, verses 26 through 27, it says, King Darius said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the Lord, before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that will not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Those are words right from a pagan king. But he stood there and he glorified God. King Darius glorified God and commanded his entire empire to tremble and to fear before the God of Daniel. He declared God's kingdom has no end. And it was Daniel's devotion that opened the door for God to be glorified in the midst of an evil plan that was meant for Daniel's death, because Daniel sought after God. He didn't retaliate. He didn't defend himself. He didn't devise some great plan of attack. He remained faithful, and I believe that he knew God was going to move really big through this. And I believe that he knew God so intimately that he was completely confident in knowing that God's hand was upon him and that he was willing to lay it all on the line to the point of death to serve God. He got on his knees so he could endure. He lifted his head up to find the one who would be his strength. He looked for God. And we must find and look for Jesus in our own suffering. We have to look for him. We can't turn away from him, and we can't turn away from each other, because Jesus is here in the midst of all of us together. He knew every one of our names when he was on the cross. With each moment of pain, we were in his thoughts. With every drop of blood that he shed, he knew we were being cleansed. We were being redeemed. We were being restored. And he hung on that cross willingly, separated from the Father, so that we never, ever would have to be. You can't suffer for any greater good. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for us to be with him. Face to face, eye to eye, his scars are our hope. Scars do come with living. That's part of life, and that is a part that Jesus prepared us for. We all know he didn't promise us this was going to be easy. In fact, he was pretty honest with us and said, none of this is going to be easy. But he did promise us it will be all worth it. And he left us encouragement to help us stay focused and to help us endure. He tells us in Matthew 5 that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, all of you, when they revile you and they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for God's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. So in the words of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Let your light shine so brightly in front of men that they will see your good works and that they will glorify your Father in heaven. That's Peter's message right there. That's what he's trying to encourage us to do. That's what he wants us to focus on. That is how Peter endured. And that's why we suffer for good. So that men will see Jesus in us. So that the good that we do in this world, because of our faith and love for Jesus, will glorify our Father in heaven and turn eyes and hearts to Jesus. I told you this was going to get emotional because I wrote this before this whole Afghanistan thing came. So this pierces my heart. It's very tender to me right now. I had a song planned for after the sermon, but it didn't work out for us to sing. Thank you, Hurricane Henry. But I wanted to read the lyrics to you. The song is called Scars by The Way I Am, or The Way I Am They. So you can see I have a pattern here going. But this song really spoke to me because It made me think about Peter's life. I could see Peter in this song, but I could also see all of us in our lives in this song. And it reminds me why I should be thankful for Jesus' scars and why I shouldn't be afraid of my own. These are the lyrics to the song. Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side. I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything. 'Cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. I can see how you delivered me. In your hands and in your feet, I found my victory. I'm thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And I know that they'll always tell of who you are. So forever, I'm thankful for the scars. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. So rejoice, I say again, so rejoice in suffering for doing good for Christ. Because, beloved, the kingdom is yours. Amen.
Remain seated and join me in the petition, the back of the book, number 920. We will read in unison. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
During the last song, you can bring offerings forward if you like. And we've been called to lay our lives on the line a bit, to be willing to bear burdens, even scars for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where his power is released. So let us pray and offer ourselves as well to the Lord this morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your example. We thank you for giving us so much. And we are your stewards, Christ followers. Oh, lead us and guide us. Help us to offer ourselves in wonderful ways, in life-changing ways, in ways that we never have before, to step out in faith. We want to do that for you, Lord, that your love and your presence would be released. So, Lord, we just offer our gifts. We offer ourselves. We give you praise and thanksgiving. We will continue to pray on our knees and lift our heads and our hands to heaven with thankful hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand together.
Suffer in this world for doing good. Our hope is in the glory of God.
now may the Lord of God be the passion in your heart, the joy of God your strength when times are hard, the presence of God a peace that overflows, and the word of God be the sea that you sow. Amen.